of Drew's bet. It's a good looking cut. Done. Looks great.
Good looking cut.
We appreciate Raj from Downtown Hair Lounge coming in studio today. The cut looks great. I'm noticing that she's putting on the glove, which in this case it's for blonde, for bleaching his hair. That could be a problem in other circumstances.
It could be, couldn't it?
It could be a little bit of
a
problem.
Makes for an interesting
for
visual in the back of our.
It does.
Back of the camera. Mm-hmm.
You can watch the bleaching portion take place now on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and X as well. But let's get back to the Chiefs, and we're excited to have our new Chiefs contributor for 96.5 The Fan, the editor over at Chiefs on SI.com, Joshua Briscoe, join us here on the show. He's going to join us every Friday at 11 o'clock. Josh, it's great to have you on the show, man. Have you ever had your hair bleached before?
God, I'm so glad you asked. Not only have I bleached my hair, I've bleached my own hair. I've had others bleach my hair. I have gone blonde to black, and I have done that in the inverse order. This is my only advice right now, is that I'm glad that there's a professional in the building, right? Because the mistake you don't want to make is to bleach it once, think, oh, it could go a little lighter and, get platinum and look a little better. Let's just do a second round, because your scalp will remember that for a couple of weeks after. So that's my only word of warning. I think Drew seems to be in good hands. Frankly, I think he's going to pull off the look maybe better than Joe Burrow did. But just don't go double down in 1 or 2 days. Give your scalp a break, Drew, if that opportunity arises.
Second question before we get to the Chiefs matchup on Sunday Night Football against the Falcons is, have you been keeping up with our friend Pesto over on social media? I told the audience that we'd been texting a little bit. Nothing about the Chiefs and only about a giant baby penguin.
Yeah, between Mudang, the baby hippo that's taken over the internet, and our giant adult penguin son, Pesto, I am well surrounded by various small animals. Cody, I don't even know if you know, since February, my wife and I got our second dog, a three-legged dog that we named Hopper quite cruelly. We are the epicenter right now of funny animals that bring us joy in life. And when the Chiefs play games that stress you out, it's really important to find the joy that can come from these wild little critters that infiltrate our lives.
And their starting running back on Sunday has a pet crocodile, right? So it just all comes together here. What are you expecting, Josh, from Carson Steele? Are we talking like 12 carries? What do you think the breakdown's going to be?
I also have to say, it's an alligator named Crocky J. That's
true.
That's Carson's fault. It's way too difficult. I am expecting a full committee, but the funny thing at this point is that Samaje Perine, falls into the Chiefs' lap at cutdown day. You get another gift from Denver, and it feels like it rounds out the running back room, of course, before the Pacheco injury. Now at this point, and obviously Pacheco got hurt, right at the two-minute warning, basically, so if almost no time at all to see what the post-Pacheco plan is. But Perine has not, through these first 2 weeks, gotten the look that I would have expected him to. Despite being in the right spot on a couple of passing plays, he had the one off his fingertip in week one. The place this leads me now is to where I don't think that Carson Steele is necessarily the most dangerous running back in this backfield right now, but he seems to fit what the Chiefs are going to want for the majority of their running back reps. We did see him survive a couple pass pro reps in the preseason. Looks really good in week two there, even though that's probably Perine's role on third down. I could see Steele getting, I would say, 9 to 12 carries somewhere. Right around that double-digit mark would not surprise me. Much more than that certainly would. Much less than that would surprise me, because somebody has to carry the football, and I don't think they're going to give Perine 8.
Well, and the whole part that comes back around to it is the pass protection thing is actually more important now than ever. Yesterday, the offensive coordinator, Matt Nagy, would not say who's starting at left tackle for this team on Sunday. So I don't really care who it is. If you're not willing to commit to it on Thursday, well, then I know you need extra help chipping on Sunday.
Yeah, I think there's certainly truth to that, and I am worried about Matthew Judon. He's not the player that Trey Hendrickson is, but you talk about like a veteran that does have a string of pass rush moves, that does have some versatility in how he can win. That's a bad matchup for Kingsley right now, more so than, think about a George Karloftis type, a high-energy guy who doesn't really bend, who's not quite as refined but is really strong. Kingsley's going to survive those matchups pretty well. He survived relatively well in week one. I'm a little worried about what Judon's going to do to Kingsley, but I do think it will be Kingsley, and I do think the Chiefs know that right now, too. I think they got to the point where they said, hey, we can play a little bit of gamesmanship. We can do a little bit of the switcheroo. Who's it going to be? I'd be really, really surprised if when they start having warm-ups on Sunday night, if it's not Kingsley out there with the ones, because I think they knew there would be growing pains. I kind of believe, I don't always believe, but I kind of believe what Andy Reid said in his post-game press conference of a step back to take two steps forward, try to seal the gap there, the flex seal tape over the leak on the left side for that final drive. I think Kingsley's still going to be the guy. I think he'll be the guy on Sunday, but they have to keep Mahomes upright. Also, because you have less reliability in the running game, because you really haven't seen Carson Steele do it at the level that I think they're probably going to ask him to do it at.
We're talking to Joshua Briscoe, the editor of Chiefs on SI.com. He's our Chiefs contributor. He's going to join us every Friday at 11 o'clock throughout the football season. One thing that we haven't even probably talked enough about this week, Josh, is the turnover margin so far. It's 2 weeks. Yeah. I get it. But they're bottom seven, I believe, already. And whether it was Carson Steele on a fumble or, of course, some bad decisions by Patrick Mahomes, this is something that has to get corrected pretty quickly.
Yeah, 100%. And I think maybe this is my optimism of the last many years of watching the Chiefs offense. I kind of think you could spin that as a general positive, because I think it is still the best answer for why has the Chiefs offense looked so stuffy? Why has everything offensively not moved quite the way that you'd want it to? I think it's in the largest role, I think, is the turnover problem. The reason that I'm somewhat heartened by that is because it's not necessarily some institutional problem or a lack of talent. You got some really, really bad decisions from Patrick Mahomes. Those are really, really rare. Those are extremely uncommon. I do not think he's going to have three or four interceptable passes every week. Remember, against the Bengals, two of them stayed on the board. That third one, that the penalty was away from the play enough that Mahomes had three that you could really, really consider to be bad passes, bad decisions, and out of character for him. Not even like Lou Anarumo masterclass stuff that where like, oh, they just showed him something different. Again, just some bad decisions. And I think the throw to Worthy down the sideline was just kind of a bad throw. You got to put that out in front of the guy. But all of that to say, as long as Carson Steele kind of has that Kareem Hunt rookie year, fumble it and then don't put it on the ground again the rest of the season, if he keeps on that track, I don't know that's – he didn't show that in college, right? That wasn't why he was undrafted. He's not sloppy with the football. And Mahomes certainly hasn't been that guy. So it is a massive problem, and if it continues, it's something that can derail a season. The good news is I don't think it's going to continue, certainly at the rate that we've seen so far.
Outside of Chris Jones, who's obviously an absolute monster, where would you put the state of the pass rush?
Yeah, great question. It's not fantastic. The metrics can change a little bit depending on which metrics you're looking at, because every outlet kind of they ID a pressure differently and the time that it takes from point A to point B. But this is a team that misses Charles Omenihu right now, and we were hoping to see, is there going to be a spark of another gear for George Karlaftis? And to this point, there hasn't been. I really like Mike Dana, but if he's your third defensive end, you feel pretty good. If he's your second and Karlaftis is your first, you really are just kind of building your universe around the gravity of Chris Jones, hoping the other guys can win. I should mention that Tershawn Wharton has had a fabulous start to the year. So the Chiefs have gotten pressure from the interior, and it lets them be a little more creative with Jones because Wharton can win on the inside. But I'm a 7 out of 10 worried about the edge group at this point, at least until Omenihu comes back. And obviously he got hurt just about as late into the year as you can. So I don't know what exactly his timeline will be. And at this point, they kind of just have to survive until then with the group they have now. That obviously plays into the secondary also needing to be extraordinary, because the worse your pass rush is, the longer your secondary has to hold on. I think there's a cyclical nature there that does, for me at least, mostly revolve around the edge duo there being a little bit underwhelming at this point. Certainly you haven't seen a whole lot from Felix, and unless you're waiting on Malik Herring to change your edge group, I just don't know that it's there right now.
I think they openly admitted before the season that they didn't like their pass rushers, and so we should probably take that as gospel now. Like they pretty much told you they didn't like him, and now they're not playing well. I shouldn't be stunned by that result.
No, and again, I think in large point, not to just like rag on one of the local guys, but I do think that that's a little bit of a consequence to where Felix is right now, because you invest even a late or the last first round pick, you still invest a first round pick in that position. You think, hey, it'll be kind of a redshirt year. Obviously, B.J. Thompson, same draft class, totally different situation. You can't really compare those. But whenever you have that hope for Felix to say, oh, if he can be a legit number three defensive end in year two, well, then now this group is maybe it's a really strong secondary edge in George Karloftis, and then two good number three type guys in Dana and FAU, and then you get Aminahou back at some point. I can see the group coming together right now, though, and then even with the trade of Pam Thomas, who hasn't made it active yet this season, you're right that I think they've shown there's some concern there. I don't know that there's a solution loading outside of just being patient for Aminahou.
What about Atlanta, Josh? We saw on Monday night, huge win for them. It was really only one drive where Kirk Cousins and that offense looked effective. And so versus watching Aaron Rodgers coming off an Achilles, who looked great last night, he was mobile, all of that. Kirk Cousins is a statue back there. Do you think that maybe this is the perfect quarterback, though, for us to feel much differently about Karloftis and about this defensive front?
It's certainly a huge opportunity for them to shift that narrative. Something I didn't mention there is that obviously with Lamar Jackson, you're doing a lot of containing, and Burrow gets rid of the ball quickly. Now, Kirk Cousins also gets rid of the ball quickly, but he's even less of a threat, as you've alluded to escape and pick up a few yards than a guy like Joe Burrow even. I am a little bit nervous, not just because of that final drive. I went back and, you know, rewatched the whole Monday night game and tried to figure out what exactly it is that is making me nervous right now. I'm still having a hard time putting my finger on it, honestly. But this road first road game, NFC game, week three, Kirk Cousins, primetime, this seems like it has all of those ingredients for, not to just, you know, repeat the most recent history, but a Harrison Butker last-second field goal to win or lose it, and typically that results in winning it. I'm a little bit nervous about that. I think it's mostly about where the Chiefs have been, more so than it's about this Falcons team. But in that two-minute drive, you did see the loosest that Kirk Cousins has looked in a Falcons uniform. You did see him being a little bit more maneuverable in the pocket. We saw him, I don't know what exactly the ratio was, it's certainly better than week one. You saw him in the play action game where he thrives. You got a little bit more of that against the Eagles, but he still doesn't look completely comfortable there. I will be fascinated to see if either the Chiefs end up by a couple of scores or if the Falcons end up in a similar situation where it's, hey, you've got 2 minutes to go win this thing, go into autopilot Kirk Cousins and just play quarterback the way that you can do at your highest level. I'm really interested in that. And I'm also terrified to see if Kyle Pitts like has his career game finally against the defense that's really struggled against tight ends.
Yeah, that's I think that's where everybody's kind of keeping an eye on. But you know what? Even if he has a career day, Josh, I think it's going to take a lot more than that for the Chiefs defense to actually have some major problems. It needs Bijan or Drake London's going to have to go off for 80 apiece as well or something like that.
Yeah, and Bijan obviously has been productive. And it was interesting yesterday hearing, I don't know if you guys played or listened back to the pressers or whatever, but listening to Dave Merritt talk about how the secondary has to deal with Bijan at the second level, really starting with Drake London. He compared him to Hines Ward in terms of the physicality in the run-blocking game. It's extremely high. If I was compared to Hines Ward for any reason whatsoever, I would take that as high praise. And so you're right about the passing game, and I think it's a weird matchup for Trent McDuffie, who has been a bona fide stud. I mean, more than just these first 2 weeks, but man, he's just been almost perfect. But it's a weird matchup for him. I don't know if he's going to end up on Darnell Mooney more, or if you're just going to let the Falcons kind of dictate the matchups to you as the defense if you're Steve Spagnuolo, because there's not quite the follow around Jamar Chase type of matchup, and he didn't follow Chase for 100% of the snaps either. But you're right. I think Bijan is going to be interesting because this is a team that has had the issues with backs and tight ends, I know what's going on with Nick Bolton. Nick Bolton's playing like a version of Nick Bolton that didn't play in the preseason and throughout training camp, and I'm lower on Nick Bolton than most. I'm not really sure what's going on with Drew Tranquil at this point. Another reason that the Bijan-Pitts duo gives me a little bit of pause. One big Darnell Mooney play and the entire game kind of can turn on a 60-yard touchdown. you have to do most of the work. I don't think Kirk is pushing at 60 yards at this point. But there are just enough risky ingredients in here that I'm really like triple checking my notes as we get closer to primetime.
Josh Briscoe, editor over at ChiefsOnSI.com. He's our Chiefs contributor every Friday at 11 o'clock here on Cody and Gold. You'll hear him throughout the week on all our shows as well. Appreciate it, man. Looking forward to having you on.
Hey, man, I'm happy to be here, and if I need to dye my hair to rejoin you guys next week, let me know. I'm happy to do it.
We might have to do that. There you go. That's Josh Briscoe.
The whole show gets their hair dyed. You know, one thing he was talking about, like with Kirk Cousins and the kicking game, I had remembered a stat. Then we're going to get an update on Drew's hair.
Mm-hmm.
Kramer, you probably don't know to switch the cameras over, but if you can, there's a button that says transition.
Maybe y'all will have you run over there real quick or something. Yeah.
He had mentioned the indoors in this part, and I hadn't thought about it. We have neglected, I think, to mention an important stat for Patrick Mahomes. Do you remember his stats in a dome?
Jay Binkley's going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. I promise you, he has those ready for us. Don't spoil his thunder, you know?
Are you sure? Because I can give you the retractable roof and the dome. So the indoor stats for Patrick Mahomes, because they are impressive, to say the least. So we'll get to those with Jay Binkley coming up in the fan club at 1 o'clock.
All right, while we were talking some Chiefs football with Josh Briscoe, I believe that
they've begun the dying.
The brushing process, if you will, putting the basically painting, it looked like, on some of the dye was going on. Is Drew able to stand up, or does he have, can he not move? Can he stand up and grab a, go to the microphone, or does he actually have to sit still? Because I'd like to get him on the mic for a second. If you're watching on video, I think the middle, the camera back there, is working now as well. So how are you feeling? What, obviously right now it looks like, is your hair like very stiff at this point?
It's starting to, if you, there's
burn?
A picture taken, it's starting to grow in. Like you can see it lighten
it's getting
up a
lighter
bit
color. It's getting a little lighter color.
How long does it take for the bleach to take effect? That was what the text line was asking. They're
saying, I see it in the back. Do you see that?
It's way lighter in the back.
She said it should be in the next like half hour or so is when it really starts to take effect.
All right. You have a giant smile on your face. I think you're excited.
I'm
excited.
All right, we'll let you sit back down and let Rye, again, from Downtown Hair Lounge, continue to do the great work on the Burrow cut here. We'll keep checking in.
It's getting lighter. For trash of the day,
should I avoid trash of the day and see if there's a way we can just turn it into let's talk to Drew's wife segment? I don't know if Drew will let this happen. Can we get Bree to come in studio?
Or she can stand on that side if he wants to have some,
Or this microphone over here. I would get her perspective on what is happening to her husband right now, and plus whatever other conversations we might be able to have. We'll see. I think they're going to get the microphone set up for Drew's wife, Bree, to join us. It's the second time she's been on the show, I believe.
Yeah, there was one other time during when we had the puppies in.
Okay.
She came when we had the puppies and everybody came to the studio. We should do that. That was over a year ago. That was a very popular segment.
That was, we were doing the event with Vinny.
Yeah. For the Chiefs Jets.
She was in here. She just never got on the mic.
That's right. Okay. Are we good?
I won't ask anything nefarious. Yeah, Drew, we'll be good. Bree,
so just what did you think when Drew told you, by the way, that he was willing to make a bet to get the Joe Burrow cut to bleach his hair? Your thoughts?
I mean, I've been wanting him to get highlights.
Wow.
Drew, you look the same since you were, I don't know how long. So I'm like, I don't know. I thought it would be kind of weird.
Wait, were you more worried about the tattoo? I assume at some point you had heard that there was a possibility he was going to have to get a tattoo.
No, it's a number. It's a story. I have meaningless tattoos, so I think that would be fine. I've been wanting to get another tattoo anyway, so, I mean, I would have taken that.
This is already, this 2 second conversation with Bree is a good sign that Drew married correctly. He married the right person. That he gets his hair dyed and bleached. He's like, you know what? I thought maybe it'd look cool with highlights anyway. They're not highlights, just fully bleached.
Yeah.
But, you know, same energy. And then, if he wants to get a tattoo, he's going to get a tattoo. That seems like not a bad position to be in. This is how you know, Gold. When you're looking out for your next date, this is how you know. When they accept the weird parts about you, that he's maybe willing to get his hair dyed. Now, Bree, we do have to ask you one more question from the audience who's been asking for a while. Drew had once said on this show that you do not believe, not that the moon landing wasn't real, but the moon itself was not real. Can I get some clarification on that? Is that actually what it is, or is Drew misrepresenting your stance on this?
Okay, so I don't know when it was. I think I was watching like conspiracy theories or something like that. Kind of fell down a rabbit hole with that. So I think truly it's maybe the moon landing, but I always say the moon, like the moon is out, and Drew's like, "Oh, look, the moon." I'm like, "Oh, it's fake."
So what do you think that thing is up there? That thing is in the sky.
I'm like, what is the purpose actually of the moon? I don't know if anybody really knows.
Because the tides, like, right?
I have no idea. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm like, it's a projection screen or something.
So were you confused on the day of the eclipse that we had? And we were talking about that. Were you like, what the hell is going? Someone's walking in front of the projector.
Right, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Okay. If you can fake a moon, you can definitely fake an eclipse.
Right.
So, I will say.
You know, like the
if you can fake one, you can fake the other.
The Hunger Games, how they have that big dome and stuff. Like,
yeah.
That's what's going on.
She saw the Las Vegas Sphere and thought, that's pretty close. Why not project it in there? Okay. I just want a clarification. I didn't want Drew to misrepresent you on this show. That's all.
Right.
Are you guys going to get a puppy finally? Drew, I think, wants a dog. I think you guys should just get a dog.
I do want a dog, yeah.
Just pull the trigger on it. Just do it, you know?
We got stuff to take care of first.
Fair enough. That's smart.
Yes.
Well, Bree, appreciate you hopping on the show.
Of course.
We'll let you get back to hyping up your husband with the bleaching.
She did a nice job. She said she's not offended by the fact he's getting it bleached.
She wanted him to get highlights all this time anyway.
Yes.
That's why Drew had a smile on his face.
This is the problem.
It's going to be weird, though, because tomorrow is my birthday, so we're going out to dinner, and he's going to have this bleach behind here. People are going to be looking like,
oh. Oh, great. Hopefully he's wearing the Joe Burrow jersey to dinner, too.
Oh, gosh.
It was a birthday dinner tomorrow? I didn't know that.
Drew did not tell us this.
We could have pushed this dye job back a week.
I don't know. It's all good.
All right, Kramer, if you could help us out again as we're going to head to break. We're going to continue getting updates on Drew's hair. It's starting to get lighter and lighter by the minute. We're also going to get to the Chiefs red half hour. And, oh, boy, someone else is talking once again about Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. And it sounds like there's a photo of both of them on their phone. We'll explain next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs red half hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
All right, we're back here on Cody and Gold. It is the Chiefs red half hour. We're also keeping an eye on Drew getting his
way lighter
hair dyed. It is bleached, I should say. It is definitely a lighter look. You can watch the stream Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, X/Twitter, wherever you want. You can check out how things are going. I think in about a half hour, it's really going to start looking more and more like the Burrow Cup. But we appreciate Rye and her husband from Downtown Lounge, Hair Lounge, that is, in Casey Moe, for coming in studio and spending a good chunk of their morning already the last hour making this thing happen. So we really appreciate them. People are commenting. They like, Rye, they like your husband's hat. I don't know if you can hear me.
And his mustache.
They're watching. They love the mustache and the hat that your husband has. So there you go.
For those who are watching the video stream, we're on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. So you can check out the live stream. We've got a permanent camera. We wouldn't normally do this. A permanent camera on Drew as that hair slowly starts to lighten. That way you can get a view of it yourself. We'll get a solo shot, camera all to himself once that stuff's all rinsed out.
Reminder what we have ahead today. 1 o'clock hour, the fan club returns on a Friday heading into the weekend. Jay Binkley going to join us. Of course, hopefully you're checking out his brand new show that he has on Thursday nights here on 96.5 The Fan. I think Mitchell Schwartz and JC Pearson, I believe, was the guest last night at Buffalo Wild Wings. So we'll get Bink's thoughts on his new show. Of course, the Chiefs game. And Bink's our college guy along with Drew. So we'll have a good college football conversation when it comes to all three locals who are in action. KU on the road at West Virginia. Kansas State out west in Provo, Utah, taking on BYU. Missouri staying home in Columbia. They're hosting the opener for SEC play against Vandy. So a lot going on when it comes to the college schools as well. We will get to what we expect from Carson Steele after what Josh Briscoe told us coming up in about 8 minutes or so. But I know it's the Chiefs red half hour, but when other teams say things related to the Chiefs, it still allows us to talk about them as well. And you told me this morning. I thought this was
fake.
I
can't believe you missed it.
I thought this was fake. I was like, oh, come on. It's Thursday, Cody, now Friday. But at the time, Thursday, there's no way this is still the conversation in Cincy. The game is over. They got a game on Monday night. What are they doing?
They got other teams to worry about.
The player who was involved in the pass interference at the end of the game, the rookie, Dejon Anthony, the PI call, he's still thinking about it, which is fine. But his comments told us just how much he's thinking about it. Listen to this. This is real. This is not fake.
I honestly can't wait to see them. I got him as my one of my pitch lock screens right now. so I could see it every day. Both of them. Yeah, because I can't wait to see them again. One of my lock screens on my phone. Through like family members, and then they on there too.
They're family now, huh?
Yeah, no, they're not family.
He has the lock screen on his iPhone as Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. You cannot be in the head more of an opponent than that. The game is over. It's one thing if as an individual player you're going to remember a mistake you made, but you have to have a photo of two of your opponents on your phone.
This is taught behavior. Explain any other. He's a rookie, and he made a terrible pass interference on Rashee Rice that eventually cost the team the game. Of all the things we've heard come out of Cincinnati Bengal players' mouths, of all the actions we've seen come out of mouths, this is the most egregious. This is sad behavior. Sad behavior. Loser behavior. You could not make the lock screen Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce on your phone because you're mad at them. That's like, why are you so obsessed with me? Like, we joke all this time, or like they're in their heads. That is a very serious, like, why are you so obsessed with me? Don't you have another part of your job or other things you should be learning or anything else going on in your world? Why the hell am I your lock screen in front of?
What's your lock screen right now? Do you have anything? Mine's just, the iPhone just updated. So it's just a generic.
Mine for the last like 3 years has been of the Kauffman Stadium foul pole with the moon right above. It hasn't changed in 5 years.
Okay.
Very rarely do I change my back screen. If it wasn't that, it would probably be my kids. But I wouldn't do it like everyone's had a mortal enemy at some point in their life. I wouldn't make my lock screen. Let's say you got pissed off at me and we were in a massive fight for Montreal. I'm not making you my lock screen because we're in the middle of a beef.
That would be weird, by the way, if I was on your lock screen or if you were on mine. Now I'm curious if Drew has Patrick Mahomes as his lock screen or whatever. Someone did say it's not that weird for someone to have their daddy as their lock screen. It makes sense. That's true. That's very, very true.
It's weirdo behavior. Like, genuinely weirdo behavior. What is everyone's lock screen? Like, I mean, it's normally like,
if you have kids, there's like a chance it's your kids. Yeah.
Well, and I, you know, like the Chiefs and the Royals Center, that might your be dog. Bobby Witt Jr. or Patrick Mahomes. If you're a big sports fan of your team, your dog, your kids, your wife, your family, I would say maybe some sports entities. There's a reason why they make like screensavers or backgrounds, team cinema.
Of course.
If they're your team, like the after the Chiefs lost to the Patriots, or the, you know, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, I didn't make Tom Brady so that I'm motivated. I mean, that would be the same as like anything you lose in. Like, that would be like me making Nate Taylor my lock screen because I lost to him in a hot dog derby. Why? No. Nate Taylor shouldn't be my lock screen.
Well, it's going to happen against
that's
you on
weird.
Saturday.
You can't be for sure about that. That's tomorrow.
That's happening tomorrow.
The weather. Maybe
you're supposed
trip.
To win for the first time and you have to run in the rain. Good luck. Mm-hmm. Good luck in that hot dog derby. 0-4 is on the way, man. 0-4 is on the way.
You don't think there's any chance I can win?
No.
You don't even give me a 5%, 2%, 1%?
No, I beat you and Nate Taylor have beat you in a race. You're not beating Matt Beisler, a former professional soccer player.
What if he trips?
You think he's going to be the one that loses balance, loses footing? Because he's never ran in the rain before and in a professional atmosphere.
They play soccer in the rain.
Yeah, I think you're in trouble.
He had cleats on then. He's not allowed to wear cleats for this.
Yeah. Someone says they have a picture of Jeff Darlington, Kirk Cousins, and Alex Gold as the triplets on their lock screen. We've talked about this before. Some people think we all three somewhat look alike. There's moments, there's some photos where I agree. There's others where we don't look anything alike. It's been something that has been brought up to me. Someone says they have the Cody and Gold Odyssey cover as their background. Thank you.
I appreciate
that's true.
That. But you're not doing it. Again, it's for like reasons. Nobody makes their lock screen something they hate.
People want to know who your mortal enemy is. That you mentioned that it's not me. Thank goodness.
No,
that'd be very difficult to work together. Who is that? Who are you? Who's the mortal enemy?
I
then?
I need to explain.
You
my
have
enemy.
One
currently? No, I don't. Think
I don't
so.
Have one right now. Who's you?
At its stages in my life, I would say I had enemies. Well, at the current,
and what did you do to get rid of them? You just wiped them off the face of the earth. What did you do?
But at the moment, I would say I am not. I do not have an active mortal enemy.
Wow.
I'd say that could come up later in life, but not currently.
Yeah, I don't have one right now. Things are good. Life is good.
Have you ever had a mortal enemy?
Of course. But like when I was, you know, more of a kid, you know, you thought you couldn't stand somebody. Not as a grown adult.
Drew's
We've learned as adults, you just don't interact with said person and have any bear. There's no reason to.
Turns out I can just ignore them.
Correct. You maybe didn't realize that when we were younger, but now you're like, well, if you just don't like that person, you just don't have to interact with them ever again. and you can move on with your life.
I just got, I went back to the video because I'm pulling it back up. Remember, we're on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook at 96.5 The Fan. We've got a bunch of people watching on Twitch and YouTube. I just tuned in the video. It's getting so blonde, man.
It is getting light.
It's getting light. Very light.
Pretty soon he's gonna be singing Justin Timberlake songs like from a boy band or something. That's he's not full Burrow yet. Once he gets the Burrow jersey on, though, man.
Someone says that hot dog suit is your mortal enemy.
Might be.
I told you I'm racing that damn thing till I win. You'll never get me to quit. Either they're gonna have to tell me I'm not allowed to race anymore, or I'm racing till I'm 60 years old and they've got like an old man race. You know? I'm gonna try whatever it takes to win this damn thing, I'll tell you that. But yeah, no, it's getting light. She said that they don't do the short parts in the back, like where the fade part is, until the end, because it's a bit itchy, but also because like it's so short, it will die quickly.
Yeah.
So I mean, I got to assume we're maybe like, what do you think, 45 minutes away from the full reveal? I guess one thing we
less
didn't think
than
about.
That,
is,
like, I mean,
it's getting close. She looks like she's putting more dye on the back side of the hair.
I must say, so far without seeing the like. It, I mean, I figured he could pull. He looks good.
He looks like a karate villain, though, man.
But
bleach blonde hair immediately makes you look like a bad guy in an 80s movie, and everybody knows it. Not highlights, but bleach blonde hair, you immediately look like an 80s villain. Karate movie.
He does look
soccer movie.
5 years younger already.
Yeah, I agree there, too.
Yeah, about 5 years younger, just off the top. So we'll keep checking in on that as Drew is paying off his bet. And like I said, much respect to Drew for paying off his bet, as some of us do, some of us do not do that. But let's talk, right, Cody? But let's talk
about. I won't sing until tomorrow.
Someone suggested that we actually have to reenact something, which is true, that if you're not going to ever pay off your bet that we've been discussing from 2 years ago, that you shouldn't be allowed to sing.
Ever?
Because that's the only thing we know that'll get you to actually do the bet.
To do things.
Because that's what you want. And that might have to be something. Well, that's a further conversation we have to have down the road next week when the ban is lifted on the song. But I'm just saying that might be the only way we get you to pay off the bet.
You're thinking about making other punishments.
I mean, it is messed up. We agreed to renegotiate your bet with you on the song and the ban, and yet you won't pay off a bet from 2 years ago. That's kind of messed up.
But I have paid off every bet except for that, just that one. And also, technically, I'd like to go back and revisit the terms.
Do you
of the
think
bet.
The bank cares? Like, hey, I paid off and I paid all my car, my two previous car loans on time. Don't repo this car just because I didn't pay this time. Doesn't work that way.
I'd like to ask a question. When we originally agreed to the bet, was that we would go as a show? That I owe it to the show because I didn't go once.
Yes.
That didn't count as paying it off?
That's why we were upset that you went that way. You were supposed to be as a show, and you went with your wife instead. Okay, anyway, let's talk about Carson Steele some more during the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We asked Josh Briscoe about this. I think he said, 9, 10, 11 carries kind of was what he was thinking potentially. No more than 12. His over-under is 11.5 carries for the game. He's also in agreement, I think, with us that Samaje Perine, nobody's expecting many carries from him in this game. He's a receiver. He's more of a receiving back than someone that's going to carry the football for this team.
Yeah, I would think that, but I have high expectations, I guess. Like, I think it actually might be selling him a little bit low to be like, well, he's going to get 10 carries. Because one guy whose carries I don't think go significantly up are Samaje Perine. Go through his entire history. That's not what he does. So now what, they're just going to change his role? Just out of nowhere, they're just going to change the way they run Samaje Perine?
I think they would run with Keontae Ingram, honestly, if they had to.
I agree. I think if they had to run the ball 20 times and it wasn't Carson Steele, it'd be more likely that Keontae Ingram got a majority of those carries. Samaje has a role, and that role works. There's no reason to re-manipulate his role. So now, in place of Pacheco, the guy who runs the ball is obviously Carson Steele. I kind of think he's going to have like 70, 75 yards and a score. I think they're going to hand the ball off to him 15 times. He's going to have like 70 yards, and he's going to have a score. That's my best guess for what we get out of Carson Steele. But even more so this game, before Clyde Edwards-Helaire comes back possibly, or before Kareem Hunt is ready to contribute to this team, this should be the Carson Steele game. This is their opportunity. And I think teams are going to dare them to run for a while. Like, not just this week, 4 weeks. Because that's already happening in the NFL and the whole cover two conversation and too high safety and all this stuff. They're already daring teams to run. Well, no, Pacheco, they're going to do it even worse. He's going to face 5 men in the box for the rest of the damn month, maybe,
I wonder if Andy gets creative with the run scheme even more. You know, I'm not saying they're going to go Deebo Samuel with a full-blown Xavier Worthy in the backfield, but could we see a special package where Mecole Hardman or Xavier Worthy are lined up in the backfield initially? Whether they actually get the handoff or not, I don't know. But we're just some different looks to try to make some things happen in the run game when you're down Pacheco. I'll point out, Carson Steele got 7 carries in a game in which Pacheco did play. And so if he got 7 last week, it's not a big increase to see him get 10, 11, 12 carries now that he is going to be the number one back. We'll get official word in the 1 o'clock hour if Kareem Hunt probably is going to be inactive or not. But I just would be surprised if he's playing on Sunday. And even if he's active, what are they having, 4 active running backs, Cody? You know, they already moved up Keontae Ingram from the practice squad. They would have to elevate. I guess
they have to get him on the 53-man roster and then elevate. Well, yeah, I guess
they elevate him on the. Yeah. I guess they could elevate still Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We really think Kareem Hunt's going to be ready to go on Sunday night? I just don't.
I just think that this is how this works when you get major injuries. You have to rely more on the players that you count on. The other part that we're just completely ignoring about the running game is, do you think it's going to stop him from just handing the ball to Xavier Worthy twice a game instead of once? Or finding a way to work McCollin?
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if some of those carries, you're like, where are those going to go? Can Carson Steele take the ball 17 times? Receivers, tight ends, short passes to tight ends. Noah Gray, Jared Wiley, Travis Kelce, runs that include Xavier Worthy. We've seen them line up and straight up, like with Tony, I mean, they don't have Tony now, but we've seen him give handoffs up the middle to
that
small
was what I mentioned with Deebo.
Receivers.
Like, would they kind of go with what we've seen the Niners do with Deebo Samuel? I'm sure they're a little worried about Xavier Worthy in that, given his size. That's why I think Mecole Hardman would fit that a little bit more. Deebo Samuel, a much bigger wide receiver than both Xavier Worthy and Mecole Hardman. 913-586-7965, Jay Southland, Toast Service, text line. Some people said this is the Chiefs bleach blonde half hour. That's true.
We got a permanent cam up on Drew.
I mean, it is blonde.
You know, like 20 minutes ago, I'm like, how light is it going to get? It's not all that light yet.
Oh, it's.
And now I'm looking at him like, nope. It is quite light. Good news is for his wife, who said he wanted highlights, he'll pretty much have highlights.
For a while.
Once it grows out for a little bit.
For a while.
When that brown hair grows up back underneath. How long before do you think there's just no bleach in his hair anymore? Like, how long before he gets like a cut?
December.
And like, you can't see it underneath.
I think December.
Anymore. Man.
Well, it's almost October.
Yeah, that's
gonna. I'll go with December, right after Thanksgiving. It'll start to really clear out a little bit. And maybe he'll like it. You know, maybe he'll just keep going, just keep it up. Maybe his wife will like it as well, or at least just get the highlights.
If you want to watch Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook at 96.5 The Fan, we do live stream the show every day, but certainly at this moment, it's the best.
So I came across something yesterday on social media. The folks over at FanSided put out a survey of 3,000 NFL fans. 3,000. The poll was their most annoying players off the field in the NFL.
Okay. The field.
I was going to have you guess, but you have seen the list. I was going to see if people could guess this entire list.
I'm going to guess Aaron. I haven't seen it. Rodgers is on the list,
He is.
People really like him. I'll assume Travis just because of Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't think any Chiefs. I'm trying to think about who else is like an annoying player.
There were a couple surprises.
Got to be like a wide receiver. Is like Antonio Brown still allowed to be on the list?
No. You got to be in the league still.
Deshaun Watson?
Got to be in the league still.
Deshaun?
So this was most annoying players, 3,000 fans surveyed. Number one, 27% of the 3,000 said Aaron Rodgers, number one most annoying player off the field. Number two was Travis Kelce at 17%. Number three was Odell Beckham Jr. I didn't know he was still annoying people. Number four, Patrick Mahomes.
What?
8%. I'm guessing, all right, you know, winning, just people hate winning, and the family stuff, which we've always talked about, is stupid. But I'm guessing it just is when you win a lot, people will find anything to hate on you for. And then number five, I didn't get this one at all. Dak Prescott. What the hell has Dak Prescott done to anybody to be the fifth most annoying player off the field? What has he done? He's been, I mean, by all accounts, he's been an upstanding individual. He's had success. He's on the Cowboys, so that's what it is. You're annoyed because he's on the Cowboys, I guess.
How is Jamar Chase on this list? He never stops talking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you're talking about off the field, how is Tyreek not on this list? Like, I'm just surprised by the players that at least, or Deshaun Watson, as I previously mentioned, the players that I'm like, at least used to them making off-field noise, or like Russell Wilson for being annoying in a different way.
Like, I'm not surprised that Kelce and Rodgers are on it. People, because when Kelce's, when you're on his TV as much as he is, when you're on TV as much as he is, it's not even his own fault. You know, people are going to hate on you and say you're annoying or whatever.
Sure.
Rodgers, it's kind of obvious. I think I don't have to go into detail why that people feel that way. Mahomes is just, to me, you're winning. I don't get why Beckham's on it. I definitely don't get why Dak Prescott's on it.
No, not even a little bit. Those are the ones where I'm like, they don't make any sense. Like, if Will Levis started making the list because they're tired of mayo commercials, okay, right? Like, normally I would think of the people who are in an obnoxious commercial or make a ton of off-the-field news. Patrick Mahomes does not make off-the-field news. Now, you see him everywhere, so maybe that hurts him. Like, if there's a big NBA game, there he is, or a big, you know, in this case, the Casey Kerr.
I'm surprised Tyreek Hill, Jamar Chase.
Yeah, those are the ones I mentioned.
You know, any of these wide receivers, Cody.
Yes. I mean, again, Aaron Rodgers appears in the public sphere all the time. That's not surprising at all. But Dak Prescott makes the least sense. He makes even less sense.
It's just
because
he's on the Cowboys, right? People hate the Cowboys. That's all it is. And the Cowboys are America's team, which they're not anymore. That kind of stuff.
They're still one of the most watched
teams.
They are. But
I mean, if there was anybody that's America's team in the NFL or sports period right now, it's actually the Chiefs.
You kind of have to be.
They're going for a three-peat, for crying out loud. They have
the two most watched games in the NFL this year.
And Travis Kelce with fandom of Taylor Swift combined in their relationship. I would call them the global team at this point.
Yeah, probably. I'm just surprised. I'm surprised by the system. Odell Beckham, why are you letting him bother you anymore?
Yeah, someone says the Dak thing is just the here we go cadence thing that he does before the snap. People get annoyed
by
that.
That's on the field.
I know. But that's someone's just texting in why. The poll is weird because the people taking it are idiots and don't strictly think about off the field.
All right. Well, then if that's the case, then we're probably...
Someone says, a fan of another team besides KC, yes, Mahomes and Kelce are definitely top five. Someone says, don't forget about Derek Carr. Derek Carr never annoyed me. I just thought he was cheesy as hell.
He's just
all.
A corny dude.
Yeah.
But that's annoying in its own way. It's just a different way. Like I said that, you know, earlier, maybe that's like Dax, and Dax kind of like a, you know, the here we go, and then... The whole videos that went viral of the way he was like warming up before the game and all that stuff. And
thing.
So it might be just some of that kind of building up on itself. I don't want to say for sure, but it might very well be like those things building up on themselves. And that's why they find him annoying. Doesn't seem out of the question probably at this point anyway. But the part of the reason the Chiefs will always be on the list is because they're winners. This is the byproduct of being the winner. Is that if you go out of town and other people are arguing with you, you're going to have to stand up for your team. And yeah, you're going to be able to, and they're going to get tired of you laying this on them. You're going to be able to say things like, but rings. And they're going to be like, well, that's all you have to say. Like, what do you mean? But rings. I don't care about anything you say about this team. They are the back-to-back Super Bowl champions. And they won three out of the last five. You don't have an argument on the other one. And yeah, someone said, how is Russell Wilson not on the list?
That's the most
shocking.
Surprising
I mentioned
one.
Him too. Shocking. He's not on the list. He's in your face because of the commercials. He's doing the Danger Russ Subway commercials there for a while. Here comes the airplane. All that stuff. How? He's doing high knees on a plane? Yeah. You got to be kidding
Spicy.
Me.
Spicy. Spicy.
I don't know how Russell Wilson's not on the list. Dak should be the most offended. Travis, he's on TV.
Unlimited diarrhea.
He's on movies. Like, you know, I get Travis. I get Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
I do not get any of the others. Although Travis seems so likable. I don't know why.
Someone says, it's not the Chiefs we hate. It's your effing fans. Okay. Again, that goes back to the winning thing, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, yeah, Chiefs fans were probably not the fans you hated the most until they started to get cocky. And they got cocky because they started winning all the time. And then it's hard not to come off like an arrogant jerk when your team is having this amount of success, I'll say. It's hard.
Yeah, because you're confident really in your team.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that is going to happen 20 years from now. Whoever is the team that's dominating the NFL, same thing will be said. People hate Patriots fans because their team was winning at the time. There's also the East Coast thing going on with the Patriots fans that rubs me the wrong way. But in general, it's because they were winning.
They think we're a flyover state, that part?
Yeah, I mentioned this.
And then we do the other thing. We're like, they're trashy, arrogant East Coasters.
Yeah, I mean, I said the same thing with Nick Sirianni. Like, Nick Sirianni is with the Eagles, the most typical East Coast, arrogant kind of a-hole.
And then they think we're just like bumpkins, you know, hicks.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever they think about Missouri and Kansas.
Unfortunately, stereotypes are a thing.
I bet they use both of those terms when describing Kansas City fans. I'd be shocked if that wasn't the case.
That guy texting about how he hates our fan. You just texted into a Kansas City sports radio station. You can't hate us too much. You can't hate sports fans in Kansas City too much if you're texting into a Kansas City sports radio station. I appreciate it.
His hair is getting lighter by the second.
It is.
Zoom in on the photo for a second. It's getting so blonde. We got to take a break. We can go to the full screen of
Drew,
but it is getting blonde. I can't wait for the full reveal when it's combed and all this at the end. Can't wait.
Coming up next, we're going to get to what's trending here on the show and talk a little bit more about the next 9 games starting tonight for the Royals.